Hello and welcome to the Weekly Swan podcast. This is episode 162. I'm Roger, and with me as always is Declan Kitchener. How's it going?
It's going well. Hello. Hello. Another video episode. We've done two. We're doing two. We've done one and a bit. One and however much of this one we've done. Slick.
1 and 20 seconds, he said, looking at his wristwatch.
Yes. It's skin past bone, don't you know?
Yeah. So back for the second episode of season 18 with a couple of songs, as we always have. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, what we do is Declan and I, we each write a song in a space of a week, and then we bring these songs to this podcast and we're like, hey, listen to this song I wrote. And then we go, how did you write that? And what was the inspiration and that sort of thing? So,
oh my God, it's like I'm there.
We'll be listening to Declan's song first this week. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be good. So what's your song called this week? And then we'll have a listen.
What's my song called? I totally know the answer to this. And I'm not having to check my folders right now. It's called Find My Way. And it goes like this.
It's a crying shame, believe me, but I got to get myself back home. I'm in no mood for leaving, but I have to pack my things and go. Really, it's such special times, I'm glad that we could share. But I can see the hint of light, morning's near ahead. Train is at the station and I have my seat reserved. Oh, but I will not keep you waiting. If it's late, it's what I deserve. We'll always have tonight, we'll have oven days, but I have got to find my way. Try and tempt me, you don't have to try too hard. And we win my defenses, are stronger from afar. I promise I'll be back again, maybe more time to share. Give me some more days in it, you know I will be here. Once I make my first step, I know that I can make them all. Yet I can't help but notice that I'm still at your door. We'll always have tonight, we'll have open days, but I have gotta find my way. And it's a crying shame, believe me, but I'm on my way back home.
That was Find My Way by Declan Kitchener. And that's your second song of the season. I'm a big fan of this. I said to you while we were listening to it, it sounds very 60s. And I'm not sure if that's where you're going with it at all. So yeah, tell us about it. How did what inspired it musically? Like, were you going for like a kind of certain era, or was it just how it came out?
So I was busy this week. I had a week off, most of which I spent away from the city I live in with not much time to write songs. I came back on Sunday. For those of you who don't know, we write Monday to Sunday. So I had one evening left to get a song together. That sort of dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum was the first little riff I came up with. And it's just like, yeah, that's what we're going with. So it's basically most of the time alternating between a B7 chord and an E chord. So it does give it that very early rock and roll, sort of rock and country kind of feel. Like I was getting vibes of One After 909, that kind of early skiffle infused kind of rock and roll.
Move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice.
It's born out of simplicity. It's a lot of very simple favorite tricks pushed into a song. But also, there was a lot of music played over that week away, and it's surprising how much the simpler songs sort of end up being the ones that get everybody going. So this is also as simple as I can make it. So there's not a diminished chord in sight. There very nearly was.
Ooh.
And but there isn't. So yeah, that's the long and the short of that one. And the lyrics are just entirely cheesy, hence why I was putting on a bit of a like a voice on the demo recording there.
Maybe that
like
voice,
like sitting at the mic swaying, just like, I know my dream, believe it. It's so stupid.
I thought there might be a bit of a performative thing there, which maybe played into that sort of, I don't know, the fact that it sounded like it was from a certain era to my ears. And you said it was kind of very rock and roll, skiffle sounding. Were there any more unconventional melodic or compositional choices you made in there that were part of the writing?
Structurally, it's a bit odd in that the main riff is like the A section, and it's you've got a B and a C section. So you've got A, B, A, C, A, B, A, C. A, sort of. you could call that pre-chorus and chorus, but neither of them feels substantial enough to sort of... There's not enough of a chorus to pre-chorus into, and neither of them are so substantial that they could stand out as choruses properly. That's a bit of an unusual way for me writing. I think I do tend to fall into the trap quite a lot of going like, okay, verse, break, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge, chorus. I've noticed that pattern so much in my songs, and I desperately try and break it when opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, I mean, we've touched on this a little bit over the past many, many episodes, but I think having a certain pattern that you write to, I can relate to that, where you've got like a certain verse, bridge, chorus, whatever, like that. As far as this song, like with it being simple, how does that feed into your like opinion and feeling about the song? Because it's a more straightforward, you said, like sort of rock and roll chord type of thing. How do you feel about that? Is that a pro or a con in your eyes?
It's kind of the point of it in a way. It's meant to be sort of simple. It's meant to be the sort of thing you could sort of teach someone in like 5 minutes or so and go like, right, okay, you and I are jamming on this for a few minutes. We are just going to quietly ignore the minor four and the major two in there. I'm just going to pretend they don't exist for 5 minutes. Yeah, it's a odd one because I feel like it could be a fun one to do live, but I feel also you would need to be on a roll. Like it's so cheesy and so corny that you would have to be in the mood to play it, as opposed to like there are some songs where even if you're having a bad night, you can sort of easily get into a headspace to sort of make them work. This ain't one of them.
Well, I mean, the first time I heard this song, I was thinking if we made this into a Stukum song, which for those of you who don't know is Declan and I's collaborative project where we both write for the project and kind of co-produce the songs. I was thinking like I would suggest that we went so in that 60s realm, almost like a really corny Tom Jones type of production. 60s Tom Jones, though.
Not 70s Tom Jones. Never 70s Tom
Jones. No.
90s Tom Jones might be fun.
I mean, now you mention it, that could be fun.
But yeah, it is designed to be the sort of thing where it's played by people who have just brought their instruments along to have a good time rather than, okay, we've got to get the perfect 1969 Fender Bassman sound out of this sort of thing. It's entirely vibe-based.
Well, I think that's a good thing. Like, I think a lot of the best songs are. I think, again, we've said this before, but like, as songwriters, sometimes we can think for a song to be, in our eyes, I don't know, like if I'm going to share a song with you, I feel like sometimes my ego gets the better of me and I'm going to go, oh, I should have certain chords in here or something like that. Whereas actually the best songs that I think we work on sometimes are the simpler ones where the melody is guiding it. And I think this is one of those.
Yeah, you kind of got to get out of that headspace of thinking like, this song is not worthy to bask in the presence of my audience. Like I say, like when I went to open mics and when sort of we were sort of sharing songs and everything over the weekend, it was normally the simpler songs, which use obvious cliche chord progressions and sort of repeating elements that sort of people really get into, which is not news, but it is something to try and work towards.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's usually the stuff that's easily graspable, particularly when you're like in a room environment where people are learning the lyrics for the first time. That's why like old sea shanties and stuff do so well, is because the words are easy to, once you've heard them once or twice, you kind of know them. And I think it's the same with a good pop song.
Yes. The thing about it being simple is that I was quite worried that I nicked the riff from somewhere, because it's not very complicated. It's like B, A, F sharp, G sharp, E. And I was just thinking, like, surely there's a song where I've just stolen this from. There has to be.
Isn't it funny when that happens? Because especially when you have like a simple, good idea and you're singing along with it, you're playing it and you're thinking, I've got something here. And you just think there's so many songs out there. It's got to be something else. I writing my song that I'm writing this week, which I haven't completed yet. I tried last night and I came up with a chord progression for it. And I was like, that's got to be something else. Just like you just said, that's got to be something else. And I don't want to risk it, you know.
Someone's going to comment and go like, you idiot, it's obviously this song. Why did you not know that?
If you write three chords in a row, that will probably be a few other songs. But then if you subvert that or you go in a different direction with it, then you're already making something completely original. But it's tough. It's tough to write something entirely original because everything is based on something else. Even if it's just the tempo of the song, you like another tempo of another song or something.
So the lesson here, everybody, is steal everything. Copyright doesn't matter. Lawyers don't matter. This will not get you in any trouble whatsoever.
I feel like we should say that we do not provide legal advice on the show. But, so what about the lyrics for this one? What inspired the song lyrically?
So surprisingly, the lyrics on the song that I wrote very quickly on the day where I came back home from another city is about going home. Like, it started out of the first line, it's a crying shame, believe me, which is just one of those words that sort of came into my head, one of those phrases, it just sort of pops in there, and you just think, that is distinctive, that suggests a flavour for the song, it seems to match.
Mm.
What on earth is the rest of the song about?
Isn't it the weirdest thing? Like,
because it's so the perfect vibe to open up this particular song with.
This is where I feel like your subconscious or something in your head guides you of like, I've gone through this experience, I probably am going to write about it. And then you get a little phrase or a little melody or word come in your head and you're like, that is the start of what I want to say, but I don't know why that is the start of what I want to say.
Yeah, it's weird how sort of your mind links things up like that. So I think the turning point was when I got to the part about like my train's waiting at the station. I thought, right, this is one after 9:09. This is about trying to go home. So let's turn this into a fictional song about a relationship. And that's what I did. Hence the rest of the song.
See, that's interesting because like when I'm listening to the lyrics of the song, I don't hear it as fictional. Obviously, I know it's like based loosely on real events, but you say you fictionalized it to be about a relationship, presumably a one-on-one relationship, whereas I heard it about being about what it actually is about, which I assume is like going to see friends and then coming home from that.
It's about that sort of moment where he's like, I don't want to leave, but I have to.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to leave. But yeah, there's things like, for example, in verse whatever it is, the one where it's like, if you try to tempt me, you don't have to try too hard. If I know I make the first step, I'll make all of them, but I'm still here. All fictional. It's just like painting. You can sort of see how that would be shot in a film or something, of like someone just standing on someone's door and just the person there just awkwardly going, well,
yeah,
you better go home now. I've got to close this door at some point. You're letting a draft in.
I've got a more general question for you, which is when you are thinking about something in your actual life and then you put it into a song, but like in a sort of you create like a character or a situation in the song which is fictionalized. How hard is that to like make it more of a fictionalized thing? And like, do you have any general processes that you use for that, or is it just different every time?
I don't tend to do that as often as I think I do. It depends. Like, for this one, it's just, oh, it's a bit sad to say goodbye to people. Turned into relationship. Whereas a song that I've shown on the show before, check out the archives on SoundCloud. I can't remember what episode it is. You have to go hunting for it. This is a good way to engage creatively with the content, apparently. Is a song called Cocksure, which I wrote about some trends that I noticed in some straight friends of mine whenever they went out. And then I sort of realised the narrator is speaking from a really weird point here. Fictionalise it. Okay, the narrator's interested in the friend that he's describing, which is absolutely in no way, shape or form like anything that's ever happened with me. But it's just like, that's interesting. That. I suppose it's easy-ish if it's going off in a completely different direction. Like, there's no process to it that I'm aware of. I think if I'm telling something true about my life in song, I tend to tone up or tone down, but I don't tend to change too much, I don't think.
Hmm.
Someone's going to dig out some clip from one of the old episodes where I say exactly the opposite. Or someone's going to bank this clip for, like, in use for a future thing.
I'd love to see, like, that clip of what you just said, like, paired back to back with you going the exact opposite of what you just said.
But, yeah, to ramble towards a point, there's no process for it other than if I'm changing something, I'm changing something big. Like, it's got to no longer apply to my life, as it were.
That makes sense, yeah. I suppose it is, part of it is just, like, and it's not, like, an easy or, like, clean-cut answer for like, maybe songwriters out there listening, but sometimes it is just intuitive, and it's just, like, that seems to work, I'll do that. But I certainly know for myself in the early days of writing songs, like, it was very literal. Like, if I was saying something, I would just describe the exactly what was going on in my life, whereas kind of like you were saying with Cocksure, where like you go, it's never happened where I was interested in this person but they were interested in that person, but that's a kind of more compelling story. Like, you sometimes you just lean into that as you kind of get more into songwriting.
But then there are some very interesting songs of yours that sort of do follow that sort of hyper literal thing and end up making very little literal sense, if that makes sense.
Hey. Yeah, you're right.
No, I mean this in a good way. Something like, for those of you who haven't listened to it, it's on the album To Your Heart's Content, Find It Where It Comes. Like, the lyrics in the verses for that are kind of like individual little scenes from your life. And they all represent literal happenings. But they don't really connect in the sense that they tell like a big through line or story or something. But they do just all add to the atmosphere. And it does end up tying into the song's central point of, like, find it where it comes, find, like, you know, your meaning where it lies kind of thing. So there are benefits to other approaches. You can be hyper-literist. You can also make no sense whatsoever. These two are not mutually exclusive, although it's very difficult to do it well.
True. I mean, like...
Check out Roger's song.
Thank you for the plug. No, but I think generally, like, when you watch a film or something, or a TV show, like, the plot, the actual this happens, which means this happens, which means this happens, is important. But I think some of the moments we gel with most of all on a personal level are sometimes where, like, we just see someone making coffee in the morning. And it's not really that important that they're doing that. But the way they do it, the mug they choose, this analogy doesn't really work. But, you know, like, the very small details, you go, I can see myself in that. And I think, like, with the find it where it comes thing that you just said, like, in the verses, I'm talking about literally a guy I used to work with at a restaurant who would, whenever the food was brought out that wasn't being used at the end of the night, he would eat all the food and he would leave his post at the job. And, which is, it's kind of a bit inconsequential, but like you said, kind of illustrates something a bit more day to day, I guess.
It's these little moments that sort of end up sparking off something else. That is not the case with Find the Way.
Which I think is really cool. I think it works great.
It's a mood turned into a fiction.
A mood turned into a fiction.
That could be a title, a mood turned into a fiction. So, Roger, what about your song this week?
Okay, well, my song this week is a little bit unusual. Not exactly what I expected to write this season. It is called Better the Devil You Know, and it goes like this.
That was Better the Devil You Know, and that was Better the Devil Than I Knew. That was great. I love that. So, when is the musical coming? And can I have tickets now, please?
Well, it does sound like it's from a musical, which wasn't the intention, but as I was recording the vocals, I was like, this is a musical. Definitely. It's like...
Oops, I accidentally wrote a villain song. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I mean, it is very much like a villain song. And I think part of that comes from the chords and part of that comes from the instrument it's played on, which is a very, it should be a harpsichord, but it's a very cheap plug-in version of a harpsichord because I don't have a harpsichord here in my little space. So it was basically inspired by, I went to go and see Bill Bailey, the comedian and musician in concert a few weeks ago. With some friends, and he was playing like all different, like if you don't know who he is, if you're overseas or something, you don't know Bill Bailey, he does like comedy songs in various different styles. So he plays multi different instruments on stage, and he was playing, you know, grand piano and electric guitar and all these different things. And one of the things he did was he played a harpsichord, and he played this sort of Baroque style song. Forgive me, Bill, if you're listening, but I can't remember what the song was about, but it was very funny. But the main thing I remember about it was that he was using all these chords that were very much in the Baroque classical style. You know, because I think you and I are the same. We hear stuff on the radio and we can go like, I've kind of heard those chords before, but so there's not really a surprise there. But he was playing these things and there are a few cool changes in there. I was kind of keeping a mental note. I should try and use them at some point. And, one of the things he did quite often was he would start on a minor chord, like a F minor, and then he would do the rounds of the chords and end up on an F major, which is quite a Baroque thing to do, apparently.
That's interesting. So you're kind of like breaking out of like a diatonic sort of pattern to end up, because that then gives you a nice shift to go back to the start or shift away at the end of a section. That's really interesting. Now that you mentioned Bill Bailey, I can totally see it. This is your chickens marched on Kiev.
yes.
But that's kind of interesting. I suppose it ends up explaining a lot of the sort of very stagey kind of feel of it. So you sort of said you only realised once you were sort of singing it. Like, was there any sort of, other than like the chord structure, was there any sort of attempt to sort of push it further in that more Baroque direction, other than, you know, the chord structure and using a harpsichord, which are two fairly major steps, but, you know, were there any others?
Yeah, I think that does, that's half the battle.
That's most
right
of
there,
the work done, isn't it?
I mean, I suppose it fed into the lyrics, because when I saw him live, he played the harpsichord song, and immediately I thought, I've got to write a song, or try to write a song like that, with those chord changes and that sort of harpsichord tone. He also did a few others, like he did a kind of a sort of southern gospel type of thing on the church organ, and that was cool, and he did some cool changes in there, which I'll probably try and do a song like that at some point.
This is the Bill Bailey season, quite clearly.
Oh yeah, yeah, every single song's gonna be a different genre. Not really, so he played that, and basically I think just hearing him do that made me think I want to try my own version of that. So just going down that general Baroque avenue as much as I could and really leaning into it, I think was what inspired it, really. And then the lyrics kind of up the ante with the dramatic musical like thing, you know.
It's kind of interesting because you've got that sort of like staccato right hand, the dun 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 dun, go all the way through the song. And then you've got people like speak about, did you ever think that your labour was ending? It ends, this, the sort of two end up going together quite well to create this quite sort of menacing kind of atmosphere. Are you secretly a villain? is this your coming out song as a villain?
Yeah, this is my coming out as a villain. I'm evil, you know. I just love doing evil.
Well, it's the 21st century, so you know we've got to be tolerant, haven't we?
Exactly. Yeah. I identify as hideously monstrous, you know. but yeah, I mean, just I think what was I going to say? Yeah, that right hand thing with the staccato was really kind of an afterthought in a way, because when I was writing the music, I wrote the music and then I wrote the lyrics afterwards. So that's kind of a bit different for me in general, because I wrote all the music first and then the lyrics. But when I was writing the lyrics, I was checking that the syllable count matched up with the bars of music. So what I'd do is I'd be writing on my notepad, and then I'd be playing with one hand on the keyboard to make sure that it all worked. And what I found was that, because originally this is a very convoluted sentence, but the lyrics of it were supposed to go with the both hands thing, the whole like playing the melody and the chords on the harpsichord and singing at the same time. But actually, when I was doing that and just trying to get the lyrics right, I realized that's a way better pattern to sing to, because like you said, it feeds into the vibe of the song, I guess.
Exactly. It gives it a bit of forward momentum. So you normally try and write all the words at the same time. Did you just say that you sort of went back and sort of put the words in afterwards, or was this sort of all working out around the same time?
Yeah, this is the first song I've done in a while where the lyrics were done completely afterwards. I wrote all the music and I had that on like Thursday or Friday, with Sunday being the deadline. And so I wrote all the music, and I had other ideas for like different sections, but because I didn't have any words yet, I was like, I don't know if they'll fit. So I had this section that I didn't end up using, which was it, because the song's in F minor and it went up to G minor and then down to D sharp. And it did a few things the song doesn't eventually end up doing. But I ended up dropping those. So I wrote all the music, and then the only words I had were Better the Devil You Know. And then it was just a case of thinking, kind of like you said with your first lyric, like, okay, well, what does that mean? How do I get that into a lyrical thing? And I've got to say, this was a more challenging song, because the music came fairly easy, but the words were like a real laborious task of like sitting down and thinking, oh God, you know, what am I writing about? How do I get them to fit? And there's quite a lot of rhyme schemes throughout the thing. So it was like, oh, bloody hell, you know, this is going to be quite a task. And it was, really.
Well, it's work, but it's work that's paid off. This is quite an interesting song. I really like this. I want to hear like a bigger version of this. Talking of sections, you've got that sort of very interesting outro on the end. Was that always going to be there as like this sort of instrumental thing, or was that sort of meant to have words on it at some point?
So yeah, that end section was supposed to have lyrics over it. And essentially what it does is, because the song's in F minor and it goes to F sharp major, so you've got this non-diatonic weird thing going on. And it just felt like it worked better as an instrumental section than it did with lyrics. I couldn't really get anything lyrically to fit that didn't sound too forced.
It's kind of interesting when you have a section like that and you kind of do just have to let it breathe as its own thing. But again, it does feel... it's one of those things that makes it very theatrical. Like you could imagine like a troupe of actors moving around the stage to that section. There is totally not video footage of the two of us doing that while we were listening to it. We turned the cameras off during that bit. I hope we turned the cameras off during that bit. But yeah, like I really, really like this one. I think this is really strong. I'd be very interested to see where you take it next. Do you have plans for this one?
Not as much. I'm going to try and develop it, but with a song like this, it's like, where do you take it? Because if you do it in that Baroque style, you do it with harpsichord and really that's it. I added in a few elements of drums at the very end. You've got like a bit of kick drum and tambourine going there just to give a bit more oomph to it. But I don't know. I'll try different things with it.
I suppose you could do like a sort of that sort of 60s Baroque style with that. So if you keep like the harpsichord as your only weird instrument, but then you could do something in the vein of She's a Rainbow or Fixing a Hole or something, where you've got like a rock band around that or other sort of instrumentation around that, but you've got that very distinct kind of tonal thing in the centre of everything.
That's a really good idea, actually. I guess I'm thinking about, like, my stumbling block in my head is, what would the drums be like? Because I don't think it would be good to have, or maybe it would, now I'm thinking about it, like a just a general 8-beat. I think you got to have something that's like a 4-on-the-floor type of kick drum. But anyway, I mean, that's beside the point. But I think doing something with it like that could be good.
It definitely would be good, and you should definitely do that, because I really, really like this song.
Thank you. Or maybe we could make it a Shnookum song at some point, because I feel like I'm a little bit lacking with ideas, and that could be a fun one to do, especially because you're like, you've written loads of what I call Declan's musical songs from musicals. So.
Declan's musical songs from musicals. Oh, I like that that's a genre in your head.
Yeah, Declan's musical songs from musicals. Come on. My favorite. I suppose the last thing to say on this one before we move on is lyrically. I was talking to my dad the other day. I found a car on eBay, and I was like, because I don't really know about cars, and I want to get a new car at some point, but I don't have like a ton of cash to splash on a car. So I sent him this car I found, secondhand car. It looked pretty good to me, but I don't really know. And he's like, why do you want to get a new car? Because, you know, there's nothing terribly wrong with mine, but I could just use a new one at some point. You know, just, it's a bit of an old banger. And he said, sometimes, you know, son, it's better the devil you know. And I was like, that is a song title. Like, you're completely out of context, but, you know, you kind of, your ear pricks up sometimes with certain bits of language or something you see on TV or something.
You've got a bit of a thing for like sort of writing songs around sayings or phrases or colloquialisms or like bits and pieces like that. So yeah, when I saw the song title of this one, I knew exactly kind of where the first part of this story would have come from.
Yeah, and I mean, he had a point. So like, it's not like, you know, I didn't end up getting the car, but I kind of was thinking, A, that's a good phrase generally, so probably put it in a song regardless, but also, like, for me, I don't really like the phrase because it kind of sounds like something where, bless you, it kind of sounds like something where, I don't know, you've got a situation which you're not that happy with, but better stay here because at least it's safe. At least you kind of know what you're getting. And I think that's kind of the antithesis of like, actually, I have aspirations beyond where I'm currently at. And this is beside the car thing. That's just where it started. But like, just in your life, you could be in the situation where like, with a job or something like that, where you're just like, this is fine. It's paying the bills. But like, I have other things in mind. And like the, I guess the song is coming from like making a devil's advocate, no pun intended, of like the type of people who would tell you, just stay at your station. You know, it's safer here. The grass may be greener over there, but just stay here because, you know, at least you won't get hurt. And I think that's a kind of, I think that's a silly way to look at things sometimes personally. So that's what the song's about.
That's fair. That's interesting because normally you sort of like really sort of write a song about a phrase or a saying because you sort of kind of get it or it sparks something in you. I think this is the first time where I've heard you say like, this idea is terrible and I shall tell you why.
Yeah. Get used to it. This is the new Roger with opinions and things to say about society.
And sayings.
Yeah, damn proverbs.
That could be a title.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I have an opinion about that, and I'm not afraid to share it. I mean, it's hardly controversial. I mean, but, you know, I don't
cancelled like, usually... forever.
Okay, now for our regular section. What have you been listening to, Ian? So, Declan, what have you been listening to recently?
Thank you. Ian couldn't make it today. I've listened to a few things. I've also bought a few things. So we're going to just go through these very quickly. Mostly a lot of re-listening, but Olivia Rodrigo, Guts. It's quite good. I enjoyed it. I think the first one's better, but I still think it's very good. Teddy Swims, I've tried Everything But Therapy, part one. I want him to get therapy, but also I want part two. McFly, Motion in the Ocean.
Oh.
Because I'm actually five. Because this has got the Don't Stop Me Now bonus track on it. And that's how I got into Queen.
Really?
Talking of which, Queen, Invisible Man single.
Ooh, very nice.
Elton John and Kiki D, Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Great song. Great song.
Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields.
Ooh. Well, that's a good get. Vinyl.
The Winner Takes It All.
Damn, this is the best Ian segment we've ever had.
Chikatika. It's going to be very weird for the the audio version.
For those of you who are listening on audio, Declan is holding up his newfound records, and we're having a blast over here.
Give me A Man After Midnight.
All right.
That wasn't the song title. I just want A Man After Midnight.
What a weird way of phrasing a plea.
Freddie Mercury, Living On My Own. This has got all the remixes from shortly after he died.
That's a compilation, is it?
It's a small EP. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Volume 2.
All right.
One I'm very interested in, Mary Poppins, with the original artwork on the front rather than one of the re-releases. Julie Andrews, I wish I had her voice. Clearly an ambition that I can achieve. And then an album I really like, Serotonin's Get Gone. I got it for a fiver, and I'm very happy because this one is yellow.
Ooh, like lemon yellow too.
Transparent lemon yellow, yeah.
Ooh.
I tried to get it on yellow vinyl when I used to work at HMV, and it was out of stock, and I couldn't get it, and it would have cost me a lot more. So I'm very happy with that one.
£5 for translucent vinyl is never a bad thing.
Also, I bought extra copies of Ballad of John and Yoko and Get Back because I forgot that I had them. So if you want them, they're yours.
What are the B-sides?
Don't Let Me Down and Old Brown Shoe.
Very nice. I might take you up on that, actually. For real. Sweet. That's really cool. See, now... we'll be back in a brief moment, folks, because I'm going to go and grab some records to show you too, because I feel like I can't just talk now, especially with we're on YouTube.
Ooh, what have you got?
Well, I'm not too sure. I'm just going to grab a few I've listened to lately. Let's see. Okay, I need a nonchalant place to throw mine as well. There we go. Lucky I've got a bed.
It makes such a difference just being able to go yeet.
Okay.
It's probably the poshest anyone has said yeet.
I'm going to yeet this over here.
Yes, let me yeet this over to this chair.
Butler, will you yeet this for me? I no longer need it.
You know, this trash needs a damn good yeeting, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so...
So what have you got?
First up, that I've been listening to recently, Son of Schmilson by Harry Nilsson. Which actually, your song this week, I said this to you while we listened to it, it sounded like Harry Nilsson to me. 60s Harry Nilsson. This is 70s Harry Nilsson. Not my favourite Harry Nilsson album, but features The Most Beautiful World in the World.
Which That's is, some beautiful world.
It's a lovely song about life and the world, which I like. I like a love song about life itself.
I just can't help thinking of the Prince song and thinking, the most beautiful world in the world.
So beautiful, so beautiful. Yeah, me too. And then we got the New York three-piece tchotchke.
You got that in Bristol when we were attending a gig together, I believe. Am I correct?
We saw tchotchke supporting the Lemon Twigs in Bristol, and I got tchotchke's debut album produced by the Lemon Twigs, which is great. Really good.
Good band.
We got Todd Rundgren, the ever-popular Tortured Artist Effect, which is an album I avoided for some time because he's very 80s in the album production-wise, because it's from 1982, I believe. Let me just double-check that.
That's a good reason to be in the 80s.
Very good reason to be in the... If you could have a reason to be in the 80s, have it
being
be
in 1982 is quite a good...
which is great, and despite it being synth heavy, it's just as good as any of his other stuff. We got Amy Mann, Queens of the Summer Hotel, which is based on the novel Girl Interrupted from the 60s, and it's very good. And lastly, we have Roy Wood Boulders, and I just knocked my mic, but we have Roy Wood Boulders, which is an album that he plays everything on, and he did the artwork himself of himself, which is very nice.
I hope his hair was actually that colour, otherwise I'm going to sue for false advertising.
Yeah, I hope it was too. We'll never know, though, because there's no photos inside. I don't think.
There were no photos ever taken of Roy Wood.
Actually, there are photos inside, but I'm afraid they're in sepia.
Oh, no. So we can't see the fabulous colour of his hair.
No, you can just see photos of him playing all the instruments on the album, which is rather impressive.
It's such a shame that you would go to all of that effort to display himself playing the instruments, but not what colour they were. Oh,
exactly. Selfish is what it is. Okay, so we have an email here from regular listener to the show, Jeremy Herzer. And Jeremy writes to us with the subject line, "You inspired us to write songs."
So, yes! We did
us?
It!
It's not just him, it's us. He's got somebody else involved. He goes, "Hey guys, howdy from the US. I've been listening to you for about a year and have really been inspired by your process. My good friend and talented songwriter, Hosanna DeSano, in brackets Hattori Music, that's his project name, and I decided to take on the challenge of writing a song each week," which is awesome. That's my italics. "We then met on Saturdays to listen and celebrate each other's songs. And we recorded the calls and put them up on Hattori's YouTube channel." Awesome. "Thank you guys for being our kick in the pants. We each wrote 9 songs in the 9 weeks to start 2024. I think I wrote all of 6 songs in 2023. That's awesome. The weekly thing is such a good idea for that, for upping the ante on that.
It's anyway, so good to do it with someone as well, mainly for the accountability.
Oh, exactly, yeah. It just helps a ton. And he says, "Here are 2 that we enjoyed of their songs. We have Real, Hattori's week 1 song, and we've got Hold On, Jeremy's week 9 song." Before we listen to them, I'll just finish the email here. He says, "Cheers to you both and congrats, Roger, on the album release." Thank you. "I agree with Declan. There's a bug in every bag of seed I buy. It's a truly great lyric." Thank you, Jeremy and Hosanna. Oh, well, thank you so much, guys. We're going to take a listen to Hosanna's song from week 1, which is called Real, and then we're going to take a listen to Hold On, which is Jeremy's song from week 9 of their writing stint. Here is Real by Hattori Music. Let's take a listen.
I found you growing from a crack in the brick wall. A supernatural encounter. I don't know how you got there, but I'm glad you did. 'Cause when it rains, yeah, it pours. That's what you said. Nobody ever means that in a good way. I have a feeling you know something that I didn't. Cut me loose, I swear to heaven, this is not what I expected. Why'd you have to make me feel so real? Now I need you now to tell me how to feel so real. Yeah, you should know you ruined me for good. I know you're probably out there laughing at me and my hang-ups from an earth-like place without all of the madness and the made-up games, my penchant for sadness. I know you think it's strange that I'm insecure. Come back here and say it to my face. I know you're right, but I don't have to like it. Why do you have to make me feel so, feel so
Okay, that was Real by Hattori Music. Amazing. Such a great song. Amazing voice. And you noticed something on the SoundCloud description, which is cool. What was that?
Yeah, this song was written by picking 5 random words out of a book and using that as inspiration, which is a really cool way to write songs. We've done similar before, like where we've taken a sentence and tried to include it or things like that. It's really fun to use those sort of exercises to sort of stimulate your songwriting process, because it takes you to places you wouldn't normally go. But yeah, you're right, this is a great song. I love the tone of her voice. Yeah, good piano work. I felt some emotions.
Same. Great sort of simple sounding chords, but there were a few thrown in there where I was like, oh wow, cool chord choice there. And yeah, just really matching the emotion of the lyrics to the tone of the song. Love it.
And some good sort of using the vocals of the rhythm of, and some good using of the sort of vocal rhythms against sort of the implied beat of the song, which is kind of cool.
Definitely. Well, let's listen to Jeremy's song now from week 9 of their writing stint. This is Hold On by Jeremy Herzer, and we'll take a listen to this now.
The lies we're told leaves us longing for the sky.
Just sinking my teeth in like I'd never let go, but then I let go. Country breakdown is not what I expected. That bass is deep. Can you hear it? It's on the left. More country songs need breakdowns.
Okay, that was Hold On by Jeremy Hurser, and I gotta say, my energy has doubled. I feel like I drunk about 3 cups of coffee. Fantastic. I absolutely love that. We were both really jamming out to that. Amazing.
Yeah, there's some great vocal harmonies on that one. Very broad sounding. Absolutely love it. And more country songs need halftime breakdowns. This is now just incontrovertible fact. That bass was deep. Like we were properly like.
I love so much about that. It's I love the hopeful lyrics. I like the general composition of the song. I also love how it's produced. The drum sound on the recording is amazing, and the vocals, like you were saying, very broad. But like vocals are usually way back there, but these ones were like they felt like they were right there. Really, really impressed. So cool.
I like both of those songs. They for very different reasons, but yes, I'm a very happy person now who has also felt some very emotions. So my mind is a mess.
during that one, I was like, I feel hopeful, and you were like, yeah, for the first time in ages, it's true. Not real. I mean, I'm hopeful.
Are you though? So that's it for this episode of the Weekly Song Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, if you want to get in touch, if you want to send in your songs, or if you just want to tell us what terrible dancers we are, then why not send in an electronic letter to weeklysongpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoy the show, why not follow us, like us, subscribe, do all of the various things that you do on the various social media platforms. I know not. I am a gremlin. I know nothing about technology. You can find us on SoundCloud, on Spotify, on various other places where podcasts are held. I know not where. And you can also find us on YouTube now. There are video episodes of the podcast going up. And I have no idea how they're going to look because I've not edited the first one yet. So this could go very interestingly. Let's see. Roger, whereabouts can people find you and your music out in the world?
Well, first of all, there's our collaborative project. Declan and I, we have a collaborative project called Schnookums. I love how you do that every time. Schnookums. S-C-H-N-O-O-K-U-M-S. It's a hard thing to spell, but that's why we spell it out.
We practice. We take turns. S-C-H-N-O-O-K-U-M-S. Right. Go.
S-C-H-N-O-O-K-U-M-S. Two. So yeah, check us out. We have an album out at the moment. It's called Attaboy. It's everywhere you get albums, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, you know the list. And we're working on another follow-up project at the moment, which is going to be really cool. It's going to be out this year. You can find my solo projects and that sort of thing everywhere you would normally find music. RogerHeathers.bandcamp being the place where you can find everything. I released an album in January called Racing Alone, which some of you heard, and thank you for listening for that one. And lastly, you can find me on Instagram at Roger Heathers, and you can find me on Substack, where I'm developing the demos I'm writing here into demos, you know, with drums and so on and so forth, and writing about that process. So that's me. And Declan, where can people find you and your music?
Well, before we discuss where people can find me and my music, for Racing Alone, we did an episode of the podcast where we discussed it in depth and we sort of went behind the scenes. It's an episode just before this season started, so have a listen to that because we go through everything and it's a lot of fun and we get to talk about stuff like we do now. Where you can find me, I'd rather you didn't have that information, quite frankly. My private life is private. I ask that you respect me at this difficult time, that being my life. As for where you can find my music, just search Declan Kitchener on Spotify, Bandcamp, iTunes, Tidal, things like that. I have two EPs, which is The Captive Audience and four old songs I recorded with Roger in this shed, presented in reverse chronological order.
Catchy.
Google it. an album, Apathy Will Get You Nowhere. So, yes, those are the places where you can find me and my things. And, yeah, that's it for another week. I've now got to write another song. You've already started. How have you already started?
Well, I tried to start last week.
Last week. No. Yeah. Hum, I'm telling teacher. Wait a minute. Who's teacher?
You Ian. Know.
Ian.
Mr. Ian.
That's, that's
I tried to start last night, and I came up with four chords, which were very derivative of everything else I've ever heard, so I ditched it. So I haven't actually really started because I haven't got a note to my name. So,
well, he may not have a note to his name. Hopefully he shall have several by next week. So, yeah, we'll see you then. All that's left for us to do is to say ta-ra. Ta-ra.
Ta-ra. Ta-ra. Ta-ra.
No, all right. You only get the one, you don't get two. Sorry, I am actually slightly insane.